Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin and look into the regional consequences of the fall of Gaddafi as looted arms are proliferating south into Niger, where Agadez has become a flourishing arms bazaar. We will speak with Professor Hamoud Salhi, who is a specialist on Algeria. And the Algerian government, of course, is sheltering members of Gaddafi's family and where quite possibly Gaddafi himself is hiding out. Then we'll look into the state of the American dream. Then we'll be joined by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph Stiglitz. He has an article out now called The Price of 9/11, and we'll calculate the costs of the wars since 9/11 that have exceeded Dr. Stiglitz's and Linda Bilmes's earlier conservative calculation of $3 to $5 trillion. And then we'll look into the state of the American dream with the shrinking middle class and speak with Aaron Currier, who is the project manager for the Economic Mobility Project at the Pew Charitable Trusts, who have just released a new study that finds nearly one-third of Americans who grew up middle class in the 1970s have fallen out of the middle class as adults. Joining us now is Hamoud Salhi, who is a professor of political science at Cal State University, Dominguez Hills. He's also a political commentator for Algerian radio and television and a columnist for the independent newspaper El Habar, The News, and a board member of El Shab, a strategic studies center in Algiers. A native of Algeria, his areas of interest are ethnicity, democracy, development studies, and the foreign policies of the Maghreb states. Welcome to Background Briefing, Hamoud Salhi.
Thanks, Masters.
And clearly there is interest in where Gaddafi is, and there's a lot of military activity surrounding various towns as the rebels, now the Transitional National Council, say they have him cornered. His family apparently some time ago moved, at least members of it, moved into Algeria from a border town. Gaddafi himself made a phone call to the Algerian president, Bouteflika, from that border town. Mm-hmm. Do you think Gaddafi is actually in Algeria?
I would say I'm positive. I could go up to 80% that he is in Algeria, and for some basic reasons. The Algerian government is very, 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 very concerned about the outcome of this revolution. Specifically, they have a concern about the presence of NATO in Libya. There is fear that this would be a permanent station for NATO, or at least one of them. There is also fear that it could be a permanent station for AFRICOM, as the United States had worked or has been working to find a home for a central command in Africa. And up to this point, every nation in Africa has refused to host such a command. So Algerians have fear about that. And then there is the issue of terrorist organizations. A stable Libya could have a big impact on the stability of Algeria. The third reason is that this government has had a major problem with the transitional government. They had a problem with their dealings and their approaches to NATO. They feel that the current transitional council has been too friendly with the West, and which could translate from the Algerian perspective to giving certain rights to France and United States that might be seen Algeria as threatening to its national security. And specifically, another issue that is sort of looming in the horizon, that this transnational council has had some kind of dealing with what the local press described as a rapprochement with the Israelis. And that does not bode well for the region. So the Algerian government would use the presence of Gaddafi as a leverage to force the transnational council to do things otherwise they may not have do. And it is from that perspective that one should not ignore or dismiss the possibility or strong possibility that Gaddafi is in Algeria and the Algerians are holding him as a leverage to force the council to do things in their way.
So I suppose then the other side of the story, Hamoud Salih, would be that the new government in Libya are already annoyed with the Algerians for not supporting them, for supporting Gaddafi, for sheltering his family. And then if it becomes public that they're also sheltering Gaddafi, that's not exactly the best way to get started up with your new neighbors, is it?
Very true, and the Algerians have not shied from expressing publicly. The foreign minister himself, other personalities, the media has also stressed that they were not really happy with the way the Transnational Council asked NATO to come and to help them. They thought that this group has ties with the Westerners that are sort of not good to work with. But we have to understand one thing, that the Algerians government, particularly the current regime, was saved by what happened in Libya. In other words, if you look at the debate, the narrative, the discussion that existed following the success of the revolutions in Tunisia and Egypt, the next step or the prediction at the time that was Algeria was next or Morocco. But suddenly, Libya happened, and it became a civil war by any indication. What the Algerian government did, including the independent media, is to portray the conflict of Libya as it could be dangerous if it's replicated in Algeria. The democratic change through revolution, the way it was done in Tunisia and Egypt, was not likely to happen in this part of the world. And the narrative suddenly changed from something that could be done. You had demonstrations planned in Algeria to sort of some kind of skepticism. The Algerians became very careful in calling, especially those who were involved in the civil rights movement and civil society movement. They saw Libya as something that could be replicated in Algeria. And if that happens in Algeria, the memories of the 90s, when Algerians went through a decade of a bloody war that led to 200,000 people killed, those memories suddenly resurfaced. And indirectly, Libya, Gaddafi, did save the current regimes from possibly a collapse.
So, in other words, Hamoud Salih, again, he's a political commentator for Algerian radio and television and a columnist for the independent newspaper El Habar, The News, and a board member of El Shab Strategic Studies Center in Algiers. And you're saying that the Algerian regime dodged the bullet of the Arab Spring. They thought it was coming their way after Tunisia and Egypt. And then they used the chaos next door in Libya as a way to suggest to the Algerian people that democracy may bring about another round of political instability. The memories, of course, are pretty deep from the decade of bloodletting.
Of course. Remember the context of this. There was a belief among the Arab world, and in Algeria in this case, that you could achieve revolutionary change by just going to a place, a famous place, Tahrir in Egypt, in Cairo, and demonstrate. It was believed that change could happen if you have a mass protest, and that it could be done peacefully. What the Libyan case reminded the Algerian that the regime, the government in place, would not give up that easily. Now, a good example of this is that prior to the Libyan case, there were several demonstrations in Algeria. Mind you that they were not as strong, but there was a momentum for a bigger one. Now, there are serious problems with the Algerian civil society, we may not have had a revolution that we had, but the momentum was there to create a second kind of democratic revolution. I was there about 3 or 4 weeks ago in Algeria, and there were demonstrations, but they were issue-oriented. What's happened is that groups were fighting on their own. You did not have a national cohesive movement that would actually topple the regime. And the background to this, if we all put it in a perspective, the narrative in the media and the official media and the independent media was that, look, we really don't want to go back to the era of the 90s. And the narrative also focused on the fact that it was the Algerian. The Algerian had a revolution, a democratic revolution, in late 1980s. They were in a matter overnight in 1989. We went from a one-party system to a multi-party system. And for about a year and a half, they saw democratic change. And they granted, but what happened afterwards was damaging. When the Front Islamic Salvation won the elections and the military intervened, the country was drawn into a civil war. As I said earlier, about 200,000 people killed as of today. And what the military did and the government, the current government in Algeria, and in the media as well, is to remind people that, look, we were there, we had a democratic change, and it didn't work. And if we pursue this, we might get the same outcome. So it's better from their perspective to take a different path, which is a slow movement, a reform movement, and work with the current system. And that's exactly what has happened so far in Algeria.
Well, Hamoud Salih, let's turn to Libya, where clearly there has been obviously a lot of violence. But there's also, I think, a lot of hope that relief that the dictator's gone. The stuff that you see on television, the people are actually quite optimistic about their futures.
Yes, yeah.
And I don't think you can deny the fact that they're better off without the Gaddafi kleptocracy and the police state that he had. And I'm sure people in Algeria have sympathy, you know, just on a people-to-people basis, surely, with the Libyans, don't they?
They do. And there is sympathy for the Libyan. There is sympathy for the fact that the revolution has succeeded. There is sympathy that the Libyans endured their struggle and they come on top. That's definitely registered. The government, however, has a different approach towards this.
Sure.
I think we entered a stage of political gaming. In other words, this is when the Algerians are trying to put pressure on the new government to see them take a path that would be consistent with their foreign policy, with the Algerian outlook to the region. Let's not forget, this region itself is deeply divided. You have Algerians and Moroccan are in deep conflict over the Western Sahara issue. The countries are involved in an arms race in a power struggle of the region. The same thing with Tunisia and Algeria. The relationship have not been that good. At the same time, relationship with Gaddafi for a long time, they were on good terms. Both the president, Bouteflika, and Gaddafi were good buddies in the 80s, and I'm sorry, in the 70s. They were seen as the leaders of the non-alignment, those who both countries had consistent foreign policies. In the OPEC, the oil producing exporting countries. So they were allies on many fronts and the non-aligned movement. So you have a history between those leaders. And I think that history is still there at this point and will continue to exist between the two leaders. But the Algerian government understands that it has to take the next step. And the next step is to ensure that those who are coming to power in Libya would be on their side or at least be influenced by the Algerian government. The alternative is to see them turn into Morocco, for example, the enemy of the Algerians, and that could be bad from the Algerian perspective. Mm-hmm. So it's really a lot of political gaming,
but
the revolution has been celebrated and is seen as a success, as something that the Libyans deserve, and definitely it's much better than what we've seen in the past decades or several decades that the Libyans have lived as a dependent country.
So, Hamoud Salih, let's turn to the proliferation of arms issue, and you've mentioned some of the tensions in the region that already exist between Algeria and Morocco, Tunisia and Algeria. Mm-hmm. These tensions are bound to be exacerbated by the enormous flows of arms into the south, by caravans into Agadez in Niger. Now we learn, of course, that some of the generals from Gaddafi's army and possibly members of the clan or even he himself are likely to show up there, although the government of Niger denies this. But my understanding is that Agadez for some time has been the destination for a lot of these looted arms from Libya, and they're going into the hands of the Tuaregs. And I take it that this is going to exacerbate tensions between Morocco and Algeria. There's all these arms flowing, right?
Oh, there is. It's a huge, huge problem. And the region, the countries of Mali, Algeria, Niger, have been looking at this for several decades now. There is currently a conference on combating terrorism in the region. United States is taking part in this conference. This is happening today and this week, and it's all about the flow of arms and what is described as terrorism in the region. The United States itself has spent millions and millions of dollars to combat terrorism. There is about, I believe, around $500 million allocated to combating terrorism in the countries of Tunisia, Morocco, and Algeria. So there is a huge interest there. And a reason for it is the fact that you have these countries are rich in oil. There are major American companies in the region. And if we do a bit of history, in 2004, Dick Cheney announced that the African oil is a strategic oil. And at that time, if we understand, the only other oil that has earned such a distinction is the Gulf oil, which tells us that the United States start to look at Africa from an oil perspective, and that it views the stability of the region as important to the survival of that product. And it's in that context that region is being looked at. It's a region that is rich in oil, and it serves the American interests very well. If you go down to the desert in Sahara, in Algeria, where the oil is, and other places, you can't get in. You have to have a permit, even if you are a citizen, to get inside the camps where the oil is being produced. So it's a serious, serious business, and oil is a serious business. So from that perspective, the flow of arms, the problems with terrorist organizations will only exacerbate with an unstable Libya. And I think that's what's the goal these days for the Algerians and probably the other powers, to ensure that the transition in Libya would be as peaceful as possible, and it would not lead or contribute to the stability of the region in ways that would that the interest of those of the United States oil and a strategic interest and the region itself suffer.
So what is are the tribal fissures there? And what's the role of the Tuaregs, who apparently were fighting with Gaddafi, and now there's a lot of they have access to a lot of arms in Agadez?
Well, it's not just the Tuareg. The Tuareg is actually found throughout the region of Northern Africa. The Tuareg are a subgroup of the Berber. They are a third or fourth group. They are nomads, so travel from one area to another area. They have over the years established good relationships with Gaddafi in the case of Libya. They have worked with him on providing him certain kind of stability, no challenges. So it is in that context. Gaddafi worked very well with the tribes. Not that he preached tribalism, but the irony is that he built his power around buying the tribal leaders, money and so on and so forth. So it is in that context that the Tuaregs are becoming more of a nuisance. They are the one who knows the desert. They are the one who move from one area to another very quickly, and they are spread in the entire region from Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, and they all have a common bond. That in fact there is a movement that see themselves as a united organization, a borderless or the state or the territories are not only located in one specific area, i.e. Libya or Algeria, but throughout the region. So they are Sahrawis who live in the desert, whose survival depends on many means, including the sale of arms. But you also have other terrorist organizations. Al-Qaeda is very active in the region, it has been for a long time. So those also are appearing as causing some problems for the regimes.
Well, of course, it was the Berbers who go all the way across from Morocco through Algeria into Libya that in the West that mm-hmm. seemed to have been the main fighting force that got into Tripoli. And the Eastern rebels weren't making much progress. So Obviously, the tribal picture is complex.
Very complex.
Well, I thank you for joining us and for filling us in. And I must say that I have not heard from anywhere in the media that, as you've told us, Professor Salhi, that it's quite possible that Gaddafi is hiding out in or being held in Algeria as a kind of bargaining chip by the Algerian government.
I think it makes sense for the Algerians to use him as a bargaining chip. I would not be surprised if he emerges, but you never know. These leaders have a way of emerging from different corners of the world.
Sure.
But the Algerians, rest assured, they are looking for ways to pressure the current transnational government council.
I thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, I've been speaking with Hamoud Salhi. He's a professor of political science at Cal State University Dominguez Hills. He's also a political commentator for Algerian radio and television and a columnist for the independent newspaper El Habar, The News, and a board member of El Chab Strategic Studies Center in Algiers. A native of Algeria, his areas of interest are ethnicity, democracy, developmental studies, and the foreign policies of the Maghreb states. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with Nobel Prize-winning economist Dr. Joseph Stiglitz.